Relic Radio.
This is Relic Radio Sci-Fi, old-time radio, science fiction stories from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the show, everyone. We've got more sci-fi for you this week, as we do every Monday. We're going to hear this time from Space Patrol. Two episodes, as we like to do. The first is titled Moon Beetles. It aired February 21st, 1953. Then it's The Strange Gift of the New Star from February 28th, 1953. Here's Space Patrol.
Wheat check, rice check, and good hot Ralston present Space Patrol! High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Torrey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol. In today's transcribed adventure, Buzz and Happy have entered a damaged spaceship far out beyond the Pluto orbit to rescue two unconscious men. All around the ship, huge chunks of metal hurtle through space on an unknown orbit.
You have to carry them, Happy. You take this one, I'll handle the big fellow.
Yes, sir. Commander, the ship is swerving right into the stream of metal fragments.
They aren't all going in one direction. They're just swirling most like a whirlpool.
Commander, the battery systems are breaking us up.
Gotta get this into our ship quickly. One of those fragments goes to the ship and we're through.
We'll be back in just a moment with today's Space Patrol story, The Strange Gift of the New Star.
Captain Dick Tufeld speaking, gang. Speaking to you from an atomic power plant on Mars. Now, they're having trouble getting power, but I think I've found the trouble. Listen to this main power generator. Sounds pretty weak, doesn't it? My guess is this. They've been using ordinary fuel. Let's see what happens when I put in some of this super fuel. Listen to that power now. Supercharging does it. And gang, when you roll out of bed in the mornings, you're just like this generator. You need fuel because you haven't had any for about 12 hours. But listen, don't settle for ordinary fuel. Get supercharged like Buzz Corey does with a power breakfast. Eat the super cereals in the checkerboard packages. Rice Chex and Wheat Chex are the super cereals with that modern bite-sized design for easy eating. Delicious and how. Rice Chex is bite-sized shredded rice, and it's triple toasted. Wheat Chex is bite-sized shredded wheat, and it's baked crisper than a cracker. So treat yourself to the same swell-tasting breakfast Buzz Corey enjoys every morning. A power breakfast with Rice Chex or Wheat Chex, the super cereals that help to supercharge you. And now, today's Space Patrol adventure. Few spaceships venture out beyond the orbit of Pluto, the most remote planet in the solar system. As one veteran space pilot put it, only a comet has the time and the fuel to go poking around out there in outer space. But in recent weeks, commercial spaceships on the Neptune to Pluto run have reported a peculiar unidentified object far beyond the Pluto orbit, slowly approaching the space lanes. Commander Corey and Cadet Happy have just finished a routine mission to Pluto and have decided to do a little investigating. Now, far beyond the space lanes, they scan the dark void with super-sensitive telescopes.
Is it a meteor, Commander?
Odd shape for a meteor that size. Too regular. Take a look.
I see it. It's shaped like a spaceship, but its surface is rough.
It is a spaceship, Happy.
But, sir, there's no sign of a rocket burst. No lights in the viewport.
It's in free fall. By the looks of it, it's been in free fall for some time.
Sir, if it's coming toward the solar system, well, where could it be from?
We can tell more about that after we board it. Get our spacesuits, atomic lights, and an atomic running torch. We have to force our way into the airlock. I'll maneuver into position while you're getting the equipment. Stand by to cut rockets.
Standing by, sir.
Cut rockets and apply magnetic holding field to secure airlock.
Airlock contact secured, sir.
All right, let's go. Get in your spacesuit. I'll take the cutting torch. You handle the atomo light and the radiation detector.
Flash a light over here, Happy. See if we can find the registry number. Door's open, sir. Nobody in the control compartment. No lights. Maybe this is a lost robot control job. I see the number now. It's U87.
U87.
Let's see. That would be... That's an old registry number, Happy. The ship must have been out of commission for 5 years.
That I can believe.
It's not a robot job, though. Better take a look around. Search the aft section.
Yes, sir. Hey, look there on the floor.
Empty ration containers. Hap, turn your light on the air indicator. Should be up there in the bulkhead. Hold it, that's it.
You read it, sir?
There's some air in the ship, but the carbon dioxide factor is above the danger level.
Commander, look back there, down the corridor. There's a man on the deck.
Hold the light on him, Happy. I'll turn him over.
Is he alive?
Yes. I'll have to work fast. Get him back to our ship and try to bring him around.
Commander, how's our passenger, Happy? He opened his eyes for a minute and then passed out again. I've still got him on pure oxygen. His pulse rate's increasing and his respiration and temperature are approaching normal.
Good.
He's not as old as I thought at first. That heavy beard fools me.
I have Spacer phone to Terra headquarters for a check on the ship registration. Did you find any identification on the man?
None, sir. But from the looks of his ship, he must have been aboard for months.
We'll have it thoroughly examined when we tow it to Terra. I don't like that high radiation count. It could give him trouble.
I wonder how long he's been exposed to it.
It may not have been as bad inside the ship, but the rate from the hull is terrific.
He must have had some experience. Why, he may have circled through a part of space where no one has ever been before.
Station Control Terra calling Commander Corey aboard Terra 5, Sector 7, through to orbit. Space Control Terra calling Commander Corey.
Corey here, go ahead.
I have some information for you now on spaceship U87.
Happy to go back and keep an eye on our patient.
Yes, sir.
Let's have it, Space Control.
U87 is a Saturn registry ship owned by Joe O'Malley.
Joe O'Malley?
Yes, Commander. We've run a check on O'Malley. He escaped from Space Patrol officers just over a year ago after his arrest on Saturn.
Why was he arrested?
On suspicion of foul play against his partner, a man named Wes Pent. Everything indicated that O'Malley had disposed of Pence's body.
Then O'Malley escaped rather than face trial.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's awfully close to cheating justice right now. Notify the Terra Hospital to meet our ship.
Yes, Commander.
We had a crew of technicians ready to examine O'Malley's ship. We're bringing it into Terra. It's hot.
Radiation.
Right. Hurry out.
Commander, he's conscious now. He's talking, but, well, he's still pretty weak.
I'll go back and have a look.
He wouldn't tell me where he'd been. I asked him, and he acted like he wanted to slug me.
You get his name?
Yes, sir.
Was it Joe O'Malley?
No, sir. He says his name was Wes Pence.
Wes Pence? Happy, put on full acceleration for Terra. We've got a double mystery on our hands.
Came from Major Robertson's office, sir. He gave me a preliminary report on O'Malley's ship.
Fine. Wait here while I check it. I may want you to go over to the hospital and talk to our space hermit.
Well, who is it, Commander? Pence or O'Malley?
He may or may not be Pence, but he certainly is not O'Malley. O'Malley was much larger than this fellow. Heavier set and larger bone structure.
Mm-hmm. Now I guess we know how O'Malley tried to get rid of Pence. Stuck him in a spaceship and sent him zooming out of the solar system.
But the ship didn't have robot controls.
And that was more than a year ago. Pence couldn't have survived that long.
Happy, did you see this report of Major Robertson?
No, sir.
From all indications, the ship must have been spaceborne for 6 or 8 months.
Wow. 6 months alone in a spaceship.
Happy, go over to the hospital and keep an eye on him. I'll join you as soon as I've talked to you.
Throat.
Want some water, Mr. Pence?
Doctor, I... You're not the doctor.
No, I'm Cadet Happy.
I've seen you before. No, I haven't. I don't know where.
In the spaceship. Commander Corey and I found your ship out beyond Pluto.
Yeah, as I told you, you saved my life.
You just take it easy, Mr. Pence. Lie back and rest.
I never felt so weak.
My ship. Where's my ship?
Don't worry. It's here on Terra at the spaceport.
Oh, you brought it in?
That's right.
Fine. Hi. Where's the doctor?
Well, he'll be dropping in shortly. I'll ring for the nurse if you want her.
Oh, don't bother. I'm so weak. Oh, could you get me some water, Kitty?
Sure.
And raise the head of my bed a little left.
Well, Happy, how's our patient?
Happy. Happy, what happened?
My head.
Happy, where's Pence?
I don't know. Last I remember, I was leaning over the bed fixing his pillow, and then he hit me with something.
This handle from the bed.
Oh, but he seems so weak.
He tricked you, Happy. He's escaped.
But why? Why, Commander? He's not a criminal.
We're not sure he isn't. Bobby's men found 1,000,000 credits worth of stolen uranium hidden aboard his ship.
We'll return to Space Patrol in just a moment.
Hey, gang, you want to hear something funny? Listen to this.
That's all. That's neat, though. Sir, off, buddy. Josh, you're good, snaggers. That's all. That's neat, though. Sir, off, buddy. Josh, you're good, snaggers.
That's a word scrambler, gang. A machine that scrambles secret messages sent by space patrollers over the spaceophone. You want to know what that message said? Here, I'll have the machine unscramble it for you. Listen.
To get supercharged, eat a power breakfast with Instant Ralston. To get supercharged, eat a power breakfast with Instant Ralston.
Boys and girls, that's one of the most important messages a space patroller ever sent. Yes, sir, when you sit down to a power breakfast with good, hot Ralston, well, boy, oh, boy, that's your day to shine. For Instant Ralston packs a wallop in every spoonful. It's rich whole wheat. Remember, rich whole wheat. And that means it'll warm up your motor, tune up your thinking machine, help start off your day with a bang. That's the kind of start Buzz Corey gets. That's the kind of start he wants you to have. So come on, space patrollers, get supercharged. Eat a power breakfast with good hot Ralston. And now back to our space patrol adventure, The Strange Gift of a New Star. Far beyond the orbit of Pluto, Buzz and Happy found an apparently deserted and powerless spaceship. Aboard, they found a man who identified himself as Wes Pence. This created another mystery. For more than a year ago, Wes Pence had been listed as a victim of a fatal assault by his partner, Joe O'Malley. O'Malley, in turn, has been missing since his escape from Space Patrol officers months ago. Buzz brought Pence to Terra and placed him in a hospital for treatment. But when Buzz entered the hospital room, he found Happy unconscious and the supposedly weakened patient vanished without a trace. Now, on a side street in Kepler City on the planet Mars, a thin, stoop-shouldered man climbs a stairway at the side of a shabby machine shop. He knocks at the door.
Better open up. It's business.
I don't discuss business this time of day.
Don't you recognize me, O'Malley?
There's no O'Malley here. My name is Emil Forbach. You have the wrong address.
Yeah, you can fool a lot of people with the Emil Forbach front, but not your old partner.
My partner? I have no partner.
You did have. Don't you recognize me? Oh, I admit I've been through a lot since the day you and I had that fight on Saturn.
What? No, it can't be. This is some joke.
Better let me in. We got a lot to talk about.
Wes, come in.
I'll have to sit down. I'm pretty weak. Well, this isn't much of a place after what we used to have in the old days.
I've had to lie low on account of the space patrol. They think I did away with it.
Yeah, and so did you until a moment ago. You said I was finished. But I managed to crawl away and get help. You know, for nearly a year, I thought of nothing but revenge. All those months on Venus, later out in space.
Out in space?
Yeah. Beyond Pluto, far beyond. The sun is just a tiny star. It's good to have a strong hate out there. It keeps you warm and keeps you from going mad.
What were you doing out there?
Chasing a rumor. In your old ship. The U-87. The one you abandoned in the Venus swamps.
You got that old tub space balloon?
Yeah. I lived like a miser to get it in shape. I starved myself. Then one day I blasted out. In your ship. That's what we had the big fight about, remember? I wanted you to outfit a ship, and you refused.
But you wouldn't tell me what you wanted it for.
No. But I tell you now, I need help.
I thought you hid it.
O'Malley, let's face it. One of us isn't worth a handful of space dust without the other.
What's the pitch? What's out there, Wes?
Uranium. Pure uranium. Tons of it.
You're crazy.
I've seen it. You don't have to mine it. You just lower a cargo scoop and pull it aboard. It's a cloud of uranium. Uranium particles all sizes. From dust out to chunks as big as a spaceship.
Now I know you're crazy.
Yeah? Well, I brought some back with me. In your old ship.
Huh?
That's why I broke out of the hospital. I came looking for you. The space patrol is going to figure out I stole the uranium. But before they find me, I want to be back here with a whole freighter load of it.
A whole freighter load? I tell you, you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they say. But I'm going to prove I didn't steal it. And we'll be rich for life.
How do I know this isn't some trick of yours? Revenge.
All right, O'Malley. I'll find somebody else. By the looks of you, you couldn't promote the spaceship anywhere.
Now, wait. Just a minute. I've got connections over in Lowell City. There wouldn't be too many questions.
Now you're talking.
I can get a spaceship, all right. And I'm going to do it. So you better be on the level.
We got a line on Pence, Happy. He's gone to Mars.
To Mars?
Yes, in a regular passenger ship.
How did he get the money?
From a safe deposit vault in the Terra Bank. Pence put it there 2 years ago. The banker got suspicious and reported that he identified Pence from a description.
Oh, and then you checked with the spaceport?
Right. He got on a transport ship to Kepler City. He's going to blast off right away and lead the search for him.
As soon as he realized his ship was here on Terra, he knew we'd found the stolen uranium.
That's another mystery about Pence and his ship. That uranium wasn't stolen. A careful check has been made at every plant handling uranium. None missing.
But if he didn't steal it, well, why did he run away from the hospital?
The more important question is, if he didn't steal it, where did he get it?
Oh, that's right. Pence couldn't have owned that much ore by himself.
Suppose that uranium wasn't processed. Suppose it's natural, pure uranium.
But, sir, it doesn't exist that way anywhere in the solar system. At least not in huge chunks like that.
No, not in the solar system. But where did we find Pence?
In the rockets. He had been outside the solar system.
I have an idea Pence is going back, where he came from.
For more uranium.
Mm-hmm. But unless he gets medical treatment soon, it won't do him much good.
Huh?
Pence is in a very bad way from his last prospecting trip. Come on, Happy, let's get to him.
Commander, I've just decoded the message from Security Lab. Here it is.
Very interesting. Rather startling, isn't it, Happy?
Well, sir, I just deciphered it letter by letter. I didn't take the time to read it over. Something about uranium and helium. That's all I got out of it.
It's a further analysis of the uranium on Pence's ship. A notation by Dr. Bryson.
What does he say?
According to him, pure uranium could be found in space. Matter hurled off by forces in a newly formed star, he says, might consist almost entirely of uranium.
Well, isn't that the way the solar system was supposed to have been formed?
Yes, but our system is billions of years old. The original uranium has decayed into lead and the other elements, including the lighter gases like helium.
Well, then this stuff that Wes Pence found could be a hunk of a new star.
Well, new as far as the life of uranium is measured. Could be millions of years old.
Doesn't sound very new to me.
No, but in that time, it could cross interstellar space and come close to our solar system.
Space Patrol calling Commander Corey aboard Terra 5. Space Patrol calling Commander Corey.
Corey here. Go ahead, Space Control.
Report on suspect Wes Pence.
Let's have it.
Man believed to be Pence blasted off in special cargo freighter from Lowell City Mars spaceport 2 hours ago. Destination unannounced.
Why wasn't he stopped?
He wasn't recognized by guards until the full description reached us after blastoff. Pence was with another man.
Was the other man recognized?
The two guards who noticed Pence have checked old files, Commander. They've only rated their own identification as number 3 reliability.
Well, they aren't too sure. Well, what's their opinion?
They think the other man resembles Joe O'Malley.
Pence's old partner.
Yes, sir. The two men arrived from Kepler City.
Space Control, can you give me any information on the vector taken by that ship?
A routine view scope trace shows it headed generally toward Neptune. Its registry is MSC312.
Thanks, Space Control. Corey out. Happy, check the astrogation chart. In a blast off from Lowell City Mars, what other planets would lie close to the Neptune trajectory?
Well, none very close.
Run a test trajectory from Mars to Neptune, then out beyond the Pluto orbit. What have you got?
Well, if I go out far enough, it puts us roughly in the sector where we found Wes Pence.
We'll keep on that vector unless we hear that their ship has been sighted in some other part of the system.
You think they're going out for more uranium?
If they are, we're in for a good long trip. Get some rest, Happy. I'll call you in 3 hours.
Well, how much further is it?
Just hold this vector. By my best calculation, the uranium cluster is moving at about the same velocity as Pluto, which means we're in it.
Happy, I think I picked them up on the viewscope.
Well, it's about time. I've begun to think they veered off on another vector.
Not only that, but I found something else in the viewscope. It registers as a blurred object, but a collection of small fragments.
You mean this thing up here in the corner of the screen?
Right. Hence, the ship seems to be heading right for it. Wes, what's that in the viewscope?
I told you a while ago, it's the uranium. We're nearly there.
No, I mean the rear viewscope. It's a spaceship.
Huh? Hey, you're right. And if they're out this far, they're after us.
What do we do?
We'll lose them in the swarm.
Huh?
We'll get the uranium between us and them. When they get closer, those pallets will cloud out their viewscope so bad they'll never find us. Here, let me take the control.
Put on more acceleration, Hap. Keep them in sight.
Crazy fools. What are they up to? They're flying right into that cluster.
And it's uranium, all right. Our radiation instruments are going crazy.
Hens must be trying to pick up some chunks at this speed. They'll crack up, sure.
Probably trying to ditch us. Don't get any closer till we determine their next move.
It's working. We got them buffaloed.
Space control, all right.
Yeah, terrifying. That means Commander Buzz Corey. We'll evade them. Scoop out some uranium and head back for Mars.
Wes, look out. We're right in the middle of the swarm.
Ah, calm down. We're keeping pace with them.
Wes, do something.
You've got us in the ship. I'll lock the compartment before we lose our air.
Help me. I'm hit.
I can't. Right in the middle of my shoulder.
Well, they got a big chunk right ahead of their power unit. Get our spacesuits, Hap. We're going in and get them.
Hap, the cluster isn't all going in the same direction. It's in a swirling motion like a whirlpool.
It's battering the ship to pieces.
Hurry, Hap. Keep moving.
If one of those hunks of uranium wrecks our ship, none of us will ever get back alive. Look, Commander. The nose port is cracked.
Isn't a big break. Hurry, we gotta get Pence to put you into our ship before this one's riddled.
Yes, sir. Into the airlock.
Now into our ship. Now we'll drop them in right here and we get the ship away from this hot spot.
Yes, sir. I'll close the inner hatch.
Take off your helmet.
All right, release magnetic holding field. Field out, sir. Now to fire rockets and get away from this uranium bombardment.
We made it, sir. We're out of the screen.
Yes, but look at the other ship.
A hole the size of a space car all the way through the control compartment. We got out of there just in time.
We're heading for Terra. You take care of our passengers.
Oh, Pence is coming around.
O'Malley.
He's safe, Pence. Just lie still and I'll bandage that shoulder.
So that's O'Malley, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know, Commander, this makes twice you two have saved my life.
That may be. But if you don't mind telling me, why did you run away from the hospital and come out here on this wild expedition?
Well, O'Malley and I wanted to get a share of that uranium so we could prove I didn't steal the chunk you found in the other ship.
And to make yourselves a fortune, huh?
Well, I guess that did enter into it.
You took all that risk for nothing, Pence. We've known for some time you didn't steal that uranium.
Then O'Malley and I are free.
O'Malley is, but you aren't. You can't go around slugging space patrol personnel and get away with it. You remembered the incident with Cadet Happy in the hospital.
Yeah,
That's right.
You'll have to take whatever punishment or fine is coming for you.
I'm sunk. I can't pay any fine. I'm broke.
He's a comedian.
It's the truth. Took all the money I had to leave the spaceship.
You talk strangely, Pence, for a man with 1,000,000 credits worth of uranium.
Huh?
That uranium you brought on your ship, it's yours by right of discovery.
And now, an exciting preview of next week's thrilling Space Patrol adventure. Buzz and Happy are in a relay communication station in space. Jim Komar, who is in league with a strange alien power, is using some mysterious crystals, forcing Buzz and Happy to obey him against their will.
The crystals are getting brighter. That's all I can see or even think about, the crystals.
Keep walking up to the generator. Closer. Closer.
Happy, fight it.
Touch the connection. Reach out your hand.
Don't touch it, Happy. I can't hold back.
If you touch it, you'll be finished.
Be sure to be with us next Saturday for the exciting story, The Seed Crystals of Zal Dibran. High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol. Space Patrol, an original Mike Moser production starring Ed Kemmer as Commander Corey and Lynn Osborne as Cadet Happy, was written by Lou Houston and directed by Larry Robertson. Other players were Bela Kovach and Ken Mayer. Dick Tufeld speaking. Now, don't forget to tune in next Saturday and every Saturday when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again present the new exciting Space Patrol! And be sure to see another exciting Space Patrol story on your local ABC television station. Consult your local newspaper for time and channel. And now, a special word to mothers about a clever new idea. A salad that looks like a queen's crown, studded with jewels.
It's peach coronation salad, one of the easiest and thriftiest salads you've ever made. All you need is creamy cottage cheese, bits of maraschino cherries, and canned cream peaches from California.
To make peach coronation salad taste its luscious best, serve with Rye Crisp, those crisp, toasty wafers with a wonderful, hearty rye flavor.
For pictures of peach coronation salad, watch newspapers and magazines during the entire month of March. Your grocery is also featuring this colorful salad. Look for coronation salad displays at his store today.
Be sure to serve with Rye Crisp, the perfect food to make other foods taste even better.
For your figure's sake, make your bread Rye Crisp all the time. Only 21 calories in a double square. The famous Rye Crisp reducing pan is printed right on the package. Remember, it's smart to make your bread Rye Crisp.
Space Patrol comes to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is ABC Radio Network. Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston present Space Patrol! High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol! In today's transcribed adventure, Buzz and Happy are on the third moon of Jupiter in their spacesuits, attempting to pull Major Robertson out of a crevice into which he has fallen. Buzz has lowered Happy into the crevice where thousands of beetle-like insects are swarming, beetles that seem impervious to the cold and lack of atmosphere.
Just a couple more feet, sir. That's it, sir. Rope the rope under the Major's arms, Happy. Just a minute, sir. Might brush off some of these insects. Some of them just won't brush off, sir.
They're awful. They're a monster, too.
They're all over the Major's. Hey, Commander, they're eating through our spacesuits.
We've got to get the Major out of there and get back to the ship. If these insects puncture our suits, we're finished.
We'll be back in just a moment with today's Space Patrol story, The Moon Beetles.
Mm-hmm.
The hour has struck. Yes, today is the last time we can offer you a pair of those wonderful new space binoculars that you can see way off in the distance with. Big four-power plastic space binoculars, 5 inches wide, 5 inches long, plenty big and plenty of fun. Gang, you can watch people blocks away, study birds in real tall trees, read signs way off in the distance, spot planes high in the sky, and listen, you wear space binoculars on your head. Yes, sir, a strong, elastic band holds them snugly to your eyes, makes you look like a strange man from Mars, leaves your hands absolutely free. Yes, the hour has struck. Today is the last time we can offer you these terrific new Space Patrol space binoculars. To get a pair exactly like Buzz Corey wears, do this. Buy a box of instant Ralston. Then, with your name and address, send 25 cents in coin and an instant Ralston box top to Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. This offer good only in the USA and may be withdrawn at any time. That's Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. And now, today's Space Patrol story, the Moon Beetles. In their space battle cruiser, Terra 5, Buzz and Happy are approaching Jupiter's number 2 moon to investigate the mysterious failure of equipment in one of the automatic instrument stations. Their viewscope is trained on a surface of a cold, barren, airless satellite as Happy watches for the dome-shaped image of the atmosphere shell to reveal they're nearing the unmanned instrument station.
Jupiter's number 2 moon sure is a desolate place. Nothing but craters and mountains, and more craters and mountains. Yeah, and they all look the same. I don't even recognize any landmarks.
Well, we should have brought Robbie along. He knows most of Jupiter's satellites the way you and I know the Earth's moon.
Speaking of Major Robertson, sir, I was a little surprised to find out he was meeting us on Jupiter.
Oh?
Well, I figured he'd be getting ready for the big day on Terra on the 3rd of the month. The Interplanetary Medal Award ceremony.
I hope we can all be there. We will if we don't run into serious trouble on this instrument failure investigation.
But, sir, doesn't the Major have to be there to receive the award?
Well, I was under the impression that the name of the person to receive the Interplanetary Medal was kept secret until the day of the ceremony. What makes you think Robbie's going to get it? Hmm?
Well, I heard rumors.
Well, personally, I'd like to see Major Robertson get it, too. The final decision is up to the award committee. They aren't going to let the news out ahead of time. We're getting close to the instrument station, Happy. See those two cone-shaped peaks at the edge of that broad, shallow crater?
Yes, sir.
The instrument station is right between those peaks. Well, that's funny.
What's that, Commander?
The small atmosphere shell should be visible now.
Maybe the sunlight's hitting it at the wrong angle.
It should still show up in the viewscope. Happy, the shell's gone.
Huh?
Switch the spacephone receiver to the ultra-high frequency automatic instrument channel and see if any signals are getting out.
Yes, sir. This is the right channel, sir.
Some of the instruments are still sending, but I can't understand what happened to that atmosphere dome.
Maybe a meteor hit it.
If it came in at a tangent, it might break the shell without damaging all the instruments. Get our spacesuits, Happy, while I set the ship down. We'll make an on-the-spot check.
Analyze
the fact that a whole
atmosphere. Are you saying there weren't even any fragments of the atmosphere, sir?
That's right, Robbie. The whole thing just disappeared.
And none of the instruments were physically damaged?
No, Doctor. But some of them stopped transmitting because of the cold.
It really got us puzzled, Dr. Conrad. What do you think could have happened?
Well, Happy, I won't even speculate until a thorough investigation is made.
Well, at the moment, Doctor, I feel this is a job for the security section. Robbie, get a lab ship and blast off for moon number 2.
Yes, sir.
Do you want me to go with the Major, Commander?
You'll be needed here in Chargon, Doctor. You've got to evaluate the data from the other moon centers.
I'll keep in contact with you from number 2 moon and give you any information I can gather.
Good. Robbie, I'll leave the investigation in your hands. Happy now to go to our temporary quarters and get some rest.
I can use a little sleep.
I'll call you first thing in the morning, Dr. Conrad. Come on, Happy.
Sleep is the next order.
Happy, wake up.
Oh, Commander, what time is it?
6:05 universal star time. Are you going to sleep all day?
Oh, don't be stupid, huh? I plan to be awake before you, sir. Say, are you sure it's 6:05?
Look at your watch.
Yeah, but it's still dark outside. That's why I left the shade up, figuring the sun would wake me up.
Yes, I noticed how dark it was. Maybe we're having an eclipse of the sun. They're fairly frequent on Jupiter with 12 moons in the sky.
I'm sure I should have thought of that. Have you talked to Dr. Conrad?
I phoned his lab, but wasn't able to reach him.
Maybe he overslept, too. From the sound of things outside, it sounds like the middle of the day. Hey, come here and look, sir. The streets are full of people. These Chargon citizens must be early risers, or else they got up to see the eclipse.
The eclipse here wouldn't cause that much excitement.
What do you know? The lights are on all over the city.
Well, that must be Dr. Conrad. I told the Charger quarters to put the call in here. Corey speaking.
Commander, this is Dr. Conrad.
Oh, yes, Doctor. I've already called your lab.
I'm not at the laboratory. I'm at the spaceport. Can you come over?
Is something wrong?
Haven't you noticed the darkness?
Yes. The 4 biggest moons must be eclipsing the sun all at once.
This is no eclipse, Commander. The Chargon atmosphere shell is completely covered with insects.
Insects?
Yes, I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. They're blanketing the entire dome. Billions of them. Space control isn't letting any ship in or out of the space lodge. They're afraid the insects will swarm into the city.
Doctor, where are you now?
I'm in the space portmaster's office.
I'll be right over.
I'm ready, Commander.
Then let's go. Well, here's the office, Captain.
Commander. I expected you sooner. I was beginning to get worried.
You were tied up in traffic, Doctor. People are running around almost in a panic.
Well, I can't say I blame them. It's not exactly reassuring to know you're under a roof of billions of living insects.
I didn't think Jupiter had that many insects. Where did they all come from?
We don't know. One spaceship came through the lodge just at dawn. The pilot said the insects are like a shiny black sea all around the atmosphere dome. I've got a few specimens here, Commander, in these 2 small plastic boxes.
Let's have a look at them.
Hundreds of insects were drawn through the space lock when the ship entered. That's why space control closed the port.
Making rockets, look at the size of them. They must be about 2 inches long.
They seem to be some sort of beetle. I don't recognize them.
Well, I showed them to a friend of mine in the communication section, an amateur entomologist. He says he's never seen anything like them before on any planet.
Very strange. Entirely new variety of insects appearing by the billions and... here on Jupiter, of all places.
Mm. Hey, one of the bugs got loose. He's crawling across the desk.
You take the lid off the box, Captain?
No, sir. Look, the lid is still on it.
Then how did it get out?
Hey, listen, what's that?
A warning signal. Yellow alert.
Yellow alert? Something must be wrong with the city's atmosphere plant.
Happy, quickly, close all the windows airtight. Doctor, cut on the emergency air vents.
What could be the matter?
That signal means the air outside this building isn't fit to breathe. Check the Polaroid windows.
All the windows are closed tight, sir.
Airtight, good.
Emergency air vent on, Commander. We're all right for the time being.
Yes, Doctor, but those people out in the streets, if they don't get inside a building with emergency air supply, they're in trouble. I'll get it. Quartermaster's office. Oh, he isn't here. This is Commander Corey of the Space Patrol. I see. Yes, Captain, your procedure's correct. Right, Corey out. That was the atmosphere control center. The yellow alert was sounded because the detectors registered a high methane gas content in the air.
Methane? You mean there's a leak in the atmosphere shell?
More than a leak, a serious break.
What happened?
Look at this plastic box, Doctor.
Mm-hmm. There is a
hole in it.
Exactly. That beetle ate through the plastic box. And above us, there are billions of insects eating their way through the plastic atmosphere shell. We'll be back with Space Patrol in just a moment. Presenting the mystery of a baffling basketball player. Sometimes this 10-year-old boy would be a sharpshooter. He'd make basket after basket after basket. But then, at other times, ouch, he'd miss shot after shot. And so it went. Sometimes a shooting star, sometimes a falling star. Here was the trouble. This boy was only getting supercharged now and then. On some mornings, he'd have a power breakfast with Rice Chex or Wheat Chex, the super cereals that help to supercharge you. That's when he'd really shoot those baskets. But then, at other times, well, he'd just eat any old breakfast. And that's when they'd call him Fumbler. So, gang, remember, to be a winner every day, you have to get supercharged every day. In other words, enjoy that Rice Chex and Wheat Chex in your cupboard all the time, not just some of the time. Make it a rule to do what Buzz Corey does. Eat a power breakfast with Rice Chex or Wheat Chex every single day. The bite-sized super cereals that help to supercharge you. Delicious Chex. And now back to our Space Patrol story, The Moon Beetles. The city of Chargon on the planet Jupiter is periled by a vast swarm of strange insects that completely cover the atmosphere shell. These beetle-like insects are gnawing through the thick plastic of the transparent dome over the city, and now the air is contaminated with the harmful gases that compose Jupiter's atmosphere. Buzz, Happy, and Dr. William Conrad have rushed to the atmosphere washing plant, while Major Robertson, at the commander's order, is at the spaceport, ready to lead an exterminator squadron. Happy and the doctor are standing before the giant motors that force the atmosphere through chemical filters and purifiers, waiting for Buzz to return from the office of the chief air control engineer.
Well, the engineer's just cut on another auxiliary motor.
That's the last one. The plant's working at full capacity.
Yeah, but so are those bugs. Oh, here's the commander.
Commander, what did the chief engineer say?
Oh, it's a losing battle. You just can't build up enough pressure inside the shell to equal the heavy Jupiter atmosphere pressure on the outside. Unless those insects are stopped, pretty soon big chunks of the dome will fall in on the city. They could plunge right through the roof.
Well, do you think that DB-12X insecticide will kill the bugs, Commander?
I don't know. And if I give Robbie the order to take the exterminator squadron outside the shell, that insecticide will contaminate the entire city.
You mean it's harmful to human beings?
Definitely.
But don't you think it's worth the risk, Commander? If the dome collapses...
Oh, you're right, Doctor. There's no time to waste. We'll broadcast a warning for everyone to keep off the streets and to seal their doors and windows. Then we'll go back to Space Patrol headquarters, and I'll tell Robbie to pick the squadron up.
Commander, the streets have been completely cleared, and the Major and the squadron have been spraying the outside of the dome for 20 minutes. The DB-12X ought to be showing some results.
If it's going to work. I'll contact Robbie. Commander Corey at Chargon Space Patrol Headquarters calling Major Robertson aboard Space Patrol Cruiser J-571. Corey to Major Robertson.
Robertson here. Go ahead, Commander.
Is it working, Robbie?
All 8 ships have made 10 passes with the insecticide, Commander. Insects are saturated with the stuff, but it doesn't seem to faze them.
You've got to find something that's effective and find it quickly.
Well, heat might do it. We could get enough ships with atomic flame ejectors and play them over the dome.
There aren't any on Jupiter. What about flying ultrasonic vibrations?
That's it. That'll do it, Commander.
Dr. Conrad, you know of a lab ship here in Chargon that's got an ultrasonic generator in it?
No, yes, Commander. There is one at the spaceport.
Good. Robbie, order the squadron to return to base, but you stay aloft. Happy, Dr. Conrad and I will get the lab ship and blast off immediately.
Lab ship secured for blast off, Commander.
All right, Hap, I'll notify Space Control. Manicorian Lab Ship X-211 in Area 2-8, calling Space Control Chargon.
Space Control Chargon, go ahead.
We're ready for blast-off.
You may blast-off at will, sir. Space Control out.
Stand by to fire rockets, Happy.
Standing by, sir.
Ready, Doctor?
Yes, Commander.
Fire rockets. Good
Here come the locks, sir. Reduce power and we'll circle back to the dome.
What a sight. The dome is black with those insects.
I hope this ultrasonic generator does the trick. I'd hate the idea of going back down through that roof of beetles.
Dr. Conrad, will you operate the generator?
Of course, Commander.
That must be the major ship off on our starboard viewport.
Right. Corey aboard lab ship X211 calling Major Robertson.
Robertson here. Go ahead.
You're going to make a head-on pass at the dome, Robbie.
Good hunting.
All right, Doctor. Turn on the generator.
I've set it at 1 million cycles, Commander. That frequency should be fatal to most insects.
Give it plenty of power.
Yes, Commander.
Here we go, right over the dome. Happy, set the viewscope to high magnification.
Yes, sir.
We'll circle back and make another pass.
How's the viewscope setting, sir?
Fine. You can see the insects quite clearly.
They don't seem to be affected by the vibration. Shall I increase the frequency?
Oh, wait. Look, they're dropping off the dome.
Hey, they sure are. Sliding off by the thousands.
It's working, Commander. The sides of the dome are nearly clear.
Would you look at that? They're sliding off like a black avalanche.
We'll make a couple more passes just to make sure we've got them all.
Look at how they're heaping up around the base of the atmosphere shield. It's going to be some job clearing them away.
The first problem is to get a crew to work sealing up those holes in the dome.
Commander, this is Robbie.
Yes, Robbie?
More trouble. I just got word that there's a plague of those beetles on moon number 3. They've attacked the small atmosphere shell over the research station. That could disrupt the entire interplanetary communication system, to say nothing of ruining all space flight aid stations.
Hey, we'd better get out there with the ultrasonic generator.
It wouldn't work on that moon, Happy. There's no atmosphere to transmit the high-frequency sound of the insects. They've got to be brought under control.
Open rockets.
Well, there are 100 men on that station. They can't even be evacuated because they can't open the space locks.
What's wrong with the power unit?
Communications picked up automatic signals that indicate a relay didn't work. If somebody could get there, get inside the power unit shell and flip that switch, the research station would have power restored.
But how about the insects?
Doctor, the new Delta ray, would that destroy the insects?
Yes, but it has to be focused so that the rays wouldn't penetrate the shell, or it would destroy the men inside, too.
Is there a Delta ray here in Chargon?
No, the nearest one is in Jupiter City.
Robbie, you blast off for moon number 3 and get that power on. Happy and I'll go to Jupiter City for the Delta Ray and join you on the moon research station. There's the research station, Happy. We'll cut our speed and circle.
I'll get the Delta Ray ready.
Now, don't turn it on till I give you the word. Got to be sure of our focusing range.
Yes, sir. Wow, look at that dome. Just like the one at Chargon. Covered with beetles.
Well, there's Robbie's ship near the dome.
One of the majors got the power on yet.
I don't think so. You'd be hearing from him.
Just look at those insects all around the station.
At least they aren't attacking the power unit, though.
Major Robertson calling Commander Corey aboard Terra 5. Major Robertson calling Commander Corey.
Corey here. Where are you, Robbie?
In a pretty tight spot, Commander. Did you get the Delta Ray?
Well, what's the trouble?
I was in my spacesuit walking toward the power unit shell and these compounded beetles attacked me, crawled all over me. Beat them off. I fell into a crevice near the power shell and I'm wedged in.
We'll land and pull you out.
I don't want to rush you, but these insects are eating my spacesuit. I managed to brush them off the plastic face piece, but they're all over me. Any minute now, they're going to puncture the suit.
We'll set the ship down right away. Happy, get out our spacesuits and some rope.
Hang on, Happy.
That's it. A couple more feet, sir. Okay, hold it. I'm looping the rope around the Major's arm. Help me if you can, Major.
All right, Hap.
You ready, Hap? Just a minute, sir. I'm going to brush off some of these beetles. One of them burrowed in nearly through my suit. Okay, pull.
Now hang on to Robbie.
Wedged in pretty tight.
Oh, my leg.
He's loose now, Commander. Pull us up.
Okay.
Commander, your face piece. There are beetles swarming all over it.
I can't brush them off now.
But they'll eat through the plastic.
I can't let go of the rope.
Then you and Robbie are out of there. We're nearly to the top.
It's working. The beetles are dropping off the shell like flies.
Well, this ray works better than the ultrasonic generator. See that, Robbie?
Yeah. Really shriveling them up.
How's your leg?
A little better.
Good. As we wipe out the beetles, we'll land and turn the power unit on.
Hey, if we can clean this up and blast off for Terra pretty soon, we'll be able to get the Major back for the Interplanetary Award ceremony.
Funny, I almost forgot.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Go on up, Major. The commander's ready to give you the medal.
Quiet, Happy. The commander's going to speak.
Fellow citizens of the United Planets, it's my privilege and honor, as last year's recipient of the Interplanetary Award, to present this symbol of courage and service to the current winner. It's a special source of pride to me because the award goes to a member of my own space patrol.
Major, the commander's looking this way. He wants you to go up.
The choice this year was a difficult one for the committee, and the person chosen by them has declined the honor.
But, Major, I...
Quiet, Hap. The commander's speaking.
Yes. The selected candidate, Major Robertson, Security Chief of Space Patrol, feels that the Interplanetary Award should go to the man who risked his own life to save another, and thereby help save the lives of 100 men. So, in a special session, the committee accepted the Major's suggestion. And I shall now present the Interplanetary Award to a member of the Corps of Cadets, Cadet Happy.
Huh? Me? Me? But I...
Go on, Happy. Get up there. Hey, Happy. Hap. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll have to ask Major Robertson to accept the award for Cadet Happy. It seems the courageous winner of the Interplanetary Award has just fainted.
An exciting preview of next week's thrilling Space Patrol adventure in just a moment. But first, gang, here it is. Here's the only way to get a pair of Space Patrol space binoculars. Now, all you do is... Uh-oh. Here's a radio ray from Terra.
Boys and girls, this is your commander, and I have a message for you that's so important, I've interrupted Dick Tufeld. Here's my message. Today is positively the last time we can offer you a pair of official space binoculars. This is the greatest offer we've ever made, and it's one item I feel that every one of you should have. Although thousands and thousands of boys and girls now have their space binoculars, I know for a fact that many of you have still not sent in. So don't wait. This is important and vital. Send in today for your Space Patrol space binoculars. This is absolutely the last time we can make this sensational offer. Hurry up.
Thank you, Commander. And boys and girls, remember this. These are not flimsy goggles. They're real, full-size, full-field, four-power binoculars made of long-lasting plastic. Real, full-size, full-field, four-power binoculars that make everything in the distance look bigger, closer, clearer. The revolutionary new binoculars you wear on your head. Thrills and fun galore. You can identify buildings way off in the distance, spot planes, study birds, watch far-off traffic, read distant signs, and do lots and lots of other things with your space binoculars all year long. Now, to get a pair, buy a box of Instant Ralston. Then, with your name and address, send 25 cents in coin and an Instant Ralston box top to Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. If you don't agree your binoculars are tops, return them and we'll return your money. That's Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. And now, an exciting preview of next week's thrilling Space Patrol adventure. Buzz and Happy have just left Terra 5 to enter a damaged spaceship far out beyond the Pluto orbit. They've entered the wrecked ship in their spacesuits to rescue two unconscious men. Around the ship, huge chunks of metal hurtle through space on an unknown orbit.
We'll have to carry them, Happy. You take this one, I'll handle the big fellow.
Yes, sir. Hey, Commander, the ships are swerving right into that stream of metal fragments.
I thought I set the controls to keep pace with them. Happy, those fragments aren't going in a straight line. They're in a swirling motion like a whirlpool.
Hey, Commander, they're battering the ship to pieces. They're breaking us up.
We gotta get these men inside quickly before the fragments come from the ship, or we're finished, all of us.
Be sure to be with us next Saturday for the exciting story, The Strange Gift of the New Star, when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again bring you Space Patrol! High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space, visions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice, travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol! Space Patrol, an original Mike Moser production starring Ed Kemmerer as Commander Corey and Lynn Osborne as Cadet Happy, was written by Lou Houston and directed by Larry Robertson. Other players were Ken Mayer and Bela Kovach. Dick Tufeld speaking. Now, don't forget to tune in next Saturday and every Saturday when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again present the new exciting Space Patrol! Be sure to see another exciting Space Patrol program on your local ABC TV station. Consult your paper for time and channel. Space Patrol comes to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is ABC Radio Network.
That's our sci-fi for this week, but the old-time radio continues every day at relicradio.com. We've got a variety of different shows there. Past episodes from all of them, links to the forum, Shoutcast stream, everything else Relic Radio you can find there. You can follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/relicradio. You can email me at relicradio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Monday with a brand new episode of Relic Radio Science Fiction.